Wonderful. Thank you so much. Twos and threes, fours and fives. The whole passel of them can be dismissed right now. Headed next door. Twos and threes, fours and fives. Headed with Mrs. Swearingen. How many did you say you had 14? 14 of them. Man, hope the rest of you stay here and listen to me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Got it on back there? Oh, I have to do it again. Give me just a second here. There we go. Now let's see if we can restart this again. Hopefully going to make it a little bit easier for you to pay attention, maybe, through this. All right. We're going to look at, this afternoon, the benefits of the Word is one of the primary things, but I've entitled the message, The Priority of the New Year. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible is important. Matter of fact, the Bible should be your priority. Now, God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. It says that in 2 Peter chapter number 1. There are enormous amount of benefits in the Word of God. And I think as we start the new year to refocus our attention to say, hey, if the Bible is not a central part of what you do, make it a central part of what you do. Matter of fact, if you want a main thought for today, it's you must make the Bible a priority of your life. It's going to be the book on which your life is tested. That's what it's going to be. You ever had a teacher hand you notes and say you're going to be tested over this material? And you walk in the classroom and you didn't study the material. Question, is the teacher's fault or the student's fault that you do rough on the grade? Some of you don't want to answer and some of you are just being facetious. I say to our students all the time when I'm in my class, I've given you everything you need to know. You just got to learn it. But what, you know, what's your test like? Is it in the notes? Yes. Then it's possible for me to ask a question on it. They look at you like, what's the deal with that? As if we gave you the notes for fun because we don't have anything else better to do, right? Those are true in college. My master's level course, I had a teacher who gave us 100 pages of typed notes the night before the final. And he tested us on those pages. That was not a fun exam, I can tell you. The truth is, this book is your exam. The Bible says that you're going to stand before God and you are going to give an account. And you're not going to say to God, oh, I didn't know that. He can point to a text of Scripture and say, well, right here it says, we see God. See, I was really busy, and most days I didn't have time to get to that book. You say, well, that, Pastor, that would never happen. You're right, it wouldn't, because you're not going to offer that excuse to God. But you are going to give an account for what's in this book. That's really important for us. I've gotten to where, and if you've done this before, if you've come in my office for just about anything, one of the questions I'm going to ask you very early on is, tell me about your devotional life. Because the truth is, much of what we struggle with can be linked back to the fact that we don't make this book a priority in our life. And so our thinking gets all goofed up and everything else because we're not in this book every day. You may not be able to explain everything it does. You may not be able to say, hey, I read that verse and that verse helped me with this problem today. Some days you may not connect all those dots, but I can tell you it helps you. I can't always connect the dots. Matter of fact, most of the time I don't have a clue what the medicine that I take for my heart does. I just know my heart keeps beating. And I've tried not beating before. It's not good. It does get you a lot of tension. I can tell you there are about, you know, 7, 8, 9 people in my room at that time. But it's not healthy for you, I can just tell you. So the same is true of the Word of God. I may not be able to connect every dot every day. In other words, I may not be able to say that truth helped me today specifically, but it's going to help you because it's the truth of the Word of God. So let's look at some things, and we're not going to take the time to read every passage of Scripture here, but I'd like to look at some benefits to the Word. The benefits to the Word. And we're going to start in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to do a lot of turning this afternoon, so put your fingers to the test here, and I will have them on the screen for so you can see them. The first benefit is the Bible brings success. The Bible brings success. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We'll look at that meditation towards the end of the message. Thou meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to be a success in life? Spend time in God's Word. Plain and simple. Psalms chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3 says, if you'll meditate on the Word of God, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Whatever he does is going to prosper. You know, people say all the time, I just wished I knew how to be successful. I can tell you how to be successful. This book, spend time in it. Now, it may not be successful according to the world standards. Friday night, I watched the evening news. And they ended the broadcast with all the people that we've lost this year. And by the way, they were all famous Hollywood actors, people, that kind of stuff. And one of the last names on the list was the name Prince, who died this year. And they ended the show playing his song, Life is Like a Party, and Parties Aren't Meant to Last. I wept in my chair. Because the truth is, the majority of the people on that screen probably are in eternal hell. I don't know their hearts. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, based on their lifestyle. The fact is, they may have been successful. They may have huge estates that somebody's going to settle. But if they spend an eternity in hell, they're not successful. The Bible brings success. But number two, the Bible is a soap. Psalms 119, verses 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. John chapter 15 and verse 3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Bible scrubs you down. We need that, right? You need to have a good bath sometimes. More often than not, honestly, you really do. your body just itself is decaying. I'm trying to be encouraging today, but I'm just telling you. You could sit in your pajamas all day long, and by 2 or 3 days like that, you really need to take a bath. Like, well, Pastor, I don't really rub shoulders with the world. Why do I need to be in this book all the time? Because it cleanses you. And by the way, you don't have to rub shoulders with the world to be dirty. You got plenty inside of you that'll dirty you up. This old flesh is a fighter, isn't it? Man, it's amazing. The Bible is a soap. Number three, the Bible is a spotlight. Look at Psalms chapter 119. Matter of fact, you probably ought to just keep a finger in Psalms 119. We'll be there quite a bit throughout the day. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And then there's other passages of Scripture that talk about that as well. In other words, the Word of God illuminates that which I'm going. I need light. You ever tried to walk in a place without light? Ben did the other night. Didn't you, Ben? We got a picnic table in our kitchen because the kids have been sitting at the picnic table. It's not normally there. It was dark in the kitchen. Ben strolls into the kitchen. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, There's a picnic table in the kitchen. Yep, there sure is. You know what? He wouldn't have run into that with light. He was trying to save his father-in-law electricity. And I deeply appreciate that. The truth is, the Bible is just like that. It shines on areas where normally we wouldn't see that hazard. By the way, another good reason to be in it every day. Because you're going to be like, oh, I wouldn't have seen that. That was totally blind to me, and I would have walked right off the cliff or whatever. It's a spotlight. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Number four, the Bible shatters. That's a good thing when we need to be broken. When the Word of God hammers away at a hard heart that we have. And it chisels away at all that rough stuff that we gather around. And we can do that very quickly. Our heart becomes calloused. And yet this Word hammers away at that rock. It breaks it so that our heart can stay pliable to the Lord. Number five, the Bible searches. The Bible searches. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. I know you're familiar with this. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Let me jump back to that. I'll get to this Hebrews. Hold your finger there. I missed one. The Bible is a sword. The Bible is a sword. Hebrews 4:12 talks about that as well. That's what drew my attention to it. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." In this passage on the armor of God, most of the things in this passage are somewhat defensive. The sword is an offensive weapon, though it can be somewhat defensive as well. But the Bible is a sword. It's what protects us against the wiles of the devil, as this passage says, and so forth. And then the next is the Bible searches, and that takes us to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And again, it calls the word a sword. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder." Now notice what it does. "Piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Do you see how deep the Word of God gets? It goes to the very internal man. It gets to the joints, to the marrow. That's you can't get any more internal. When you get to the marrow, you begin to come out the other side. I mean, that's what happens. "And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, God knows why you do what you do. He doesn't just know that you do it. He knows why you do it. He knows what you try to do, why you do it. "I want to change why I do it." And he knows why you're changing why you're doing it. In other words, he gets to the very root of it. And I've said this many times, but so many times people have said to me, "Pastor, that was exactly what I needed. That statement was exactly what I needed." Or, "I'm glad you made this statement." And many times, I don't remember making the statement, one. Or two, I never intended to make that statement. It was like the Holy Spirit just brought that out. And it's like, that's what He does. And it's exactly what we need. You ever open the Word and you're struggling with a problem and you're not thinking the least bit about where you are in your Bible reading. You just open the Word up to your normal place and you get two or three verses into it and boom, it's like, wow, that's the exact answer I needed. And God not only wrote this book thousands of years ago, but He also had me choose a Bible reading plan knowing that I would be at this point right now so that I could get that verse for this problem in my life. What an incredible God we have. He's amazing. Word of God searches. But next, the Bible satisfies. Back to Psalms 119. The Bible satisfies. Psalms 119 and verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. There'd be a lot of people that want to argue that point. There'd be a lot of people who have and will continue to trade the Word of God for gold and silver. That's going to canker. That they're not taking with them. But they think it's going to bring happiness. But the Bible itself is satisfaction. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16 talks about that as well. Staying in Psalms 119, look at verse 25, and we'll see that the Bible brings strength. The Bible says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word." Verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word." Sometimes we come to the word just beaten down. And you read the word and it's like, yes, the strength back in your bones again, if you will. It's like, oh man, yeah, that's wonderful. Like being famished and you've just spent energy all day long and you sit down to a good meal and you eat it and you get some liquid into you and you're like, I think I could go again. It's exactly what the Word of God does for us. It's our spiritual nourishment. And people go months without it. And we wonder, what would you look like physically if you went months without any food? That's what you look like spiritually, though you can't see it. And you wonder why when the devil attacks you, you can't even get your sword off the ground. Because you're wore out. You need the Word. It brings strength. Next, the Bible brings security. Psalms 119, we're there. Look at verse 81. "My soul fainted for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Look at verse 114. "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Psalms 147, 119, 147. "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word." Aren't you glad that there's hope in God? You know what? I don't know what's going to happen in 2017. You don't either. You don't have a clue. What of you are even going to be here? None of us may be here. Rapture could happen. Very well could. Some of you may die in a tragic accident. Some of you may get a fatal disease and be gone by this time. We don't know, but I know who does. I know who knows all about it. He's got it all planned out. I know how it ends. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. The Bible brings security. Lastly, the Bible is steadfast. Look at Psalms 19. Not 119, but 19 and verse 7. We could say sure here as well. 19 and verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Aren't you glad that the Word of God is steadfast? I want you to think about what would happen if this book continued to shift with the times. That's what quote-unquote theologians want to say about that it's doing today. Well, sure, the Bible used to say that was wrong, but it really doesn't say that anymore. So the Bible's changing. Black and white letters, you know, it's pretty solid stuff here. No, it doesn't change. It's a solid anchor. That's a wonderful truth when your life is drifting, when you feel like, what's going on? It's a steadfast measure in a world in which everything seems to be crazy. It's a steadfast measure when you're fixing to start chemotherapy this week. It's a steadfast. Okay, God, there's a lot I don't know, But I do know who's in control. I do know I can anchor my life to this book. Folks, you desperately need in this book every day. Desperately need in it every day. The benefits of the Word. What are some, and I'm not going to teach you everything, I'm going to try to quickly finish up here, but what are some advantages, if you will, some the beginning of study? Let's say it that way. What are some ways that I can study the Word of God? What are some ways that I can read the Word of God? People ask me that quite frequently. There are plans that you can get out there, and let me say, probably the simplest thing you can do is if you have a smartphone, there are a ton of stuff out there. I mean, there is tons and tons of stuff out there that can help you. Go download a Bible app of some kind. You can choose what version you're going to use. Some of them are pretty amazing. They actually, you can actually do small word studies in the original languages. Some of them have a Bible reading plan. It'll tell you when you wake up in the morning, read Matthew 1 through 3, and if you'll do that, you'll get through the New Testament in this amount of time, and you can check it off on the phone, and it'll keep track of your stuff. Some of them have journals with them. There are enormous resources out there that can be a blessing to you to spend time in the Word. Give yourself some kind of accountability. But one of the things we talked about earlier was the idea of meditation, and I've shared this with you before, but I want to just quickly give you a method of meditation that I think will really help you. It's called the MAP method. The MAP method, and I'll give it to you, all three things quickly, and then we'll talk about them real quick. It's memorize, analyze, and personalize. Okay, take a passage of Scripture and memorize it. You say, Pastor, I really struggle with memorization. You really don't struggle with memorization because you memorize things you want to memorize. I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm just saying, take a thing that you really enjoy doing, and you probably know that stuff inside and out, okay? Now, watch a lady who really knows what she's doing baking and ask her to teach you how to make that recipe. You know what my mama does when she gets a recipe? It's a little pinch of this and a little pinch of that. And if you, her biscuits are very good. When mama makes biscuits, you'll say to her, how do you know their biscuits are ready? They just feel right in your hands. Okay. So they feel right in your hands, and she's got all this stuff going, and you know, when it feels right, then she starts plopping them on a pan. I don't know about her, but I can tell you what it feels like to me. Them things are good, you know? They know how to do that. Mama doesn't even have to look at a recipe anymore, right? Okay, what I'm saying is if you really want to dedicate it, you may struggle a little bit, but spend time memorizing the Word of God. Years ago at a family camp, a man came and taught us a method of memorization where you write it out on a card, you say it 25 times the first day, 20 the second day, 15, 10, 5, and then say it one time for 30 days. I still use that method. It's amazing how it works. It's a tremendous way. Whatever you want to do, memorize the verse so that you can say it without looking at it. Then you want to analyze it. Okay, break it down. What do the words mean? You're like, well, I don't know what the words mean. Can I tell you that the grave majority of the words in your King James Bible can be defined with a good dictionary. The majority of them. There are some nuances and things that would be there, but most of what you can learn with a good old English dictionary. By the way, if you have a smartphone, you can do that online. There's an app for that, okay? Just define the words. What do they mean? What is the English parts of speech? Is that a verb or is that a noun? And what does that mean? Is that an adjective? And what's it modifying? Simple things that you learned in high school. Theoretically. Okay. Right. Then personalize the verse. Okay, so how does this verse apply to me? Hebrews 12 and verse 3 that I quoted this morning in the message. Looking unto Jesus, right? That whole passage talks about that. Then it talks about concentrating on the cross, to focus on the cross. Why? Lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Okay? So when I personalize that verse, I say, okay, whenever I get discouraged, that means I'm looking somewhere else but the cross. When I look at the cross, it's impossible for me to be discouraged because of what he did for me on the cross. And so when I look at the cross, everything else fades away and I'm not weary and faint in my mind. And it's a mind issue, okay? So I correct my thinking. Whatever it does, personalize it. Put your name in the spot. If I spend time in God's Word, then I'm going to be a success or whatever. That will allow you then to think about and chew on that verse all day long. It'll become a part of your life. You use it all the time. And that is really, really valuable. And again, there are tons and tons of online helps that can help you. I'm not trying to advocate, get away from my responsibility. I forgot the word right off the top. Abdicate, that's it. Thank you, Dale. My responsibility. I would love to help you. If you struggle with some Bible study, hey, come see one of us. Come see Pastor Shrett, one of the other men. But I'm just telling you, there's loads of resources out there that can be a tremendous help to you, help you keep accountable and all kinds of stuff. There's really absolutely zero excuse today for us not being in the Word. We have the Bible at our fingertips so easily. And then last truth, I'd like to look at some blessings of the Bible. And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We looked at some benefits, and you really could say, well, Pastor, all those benefits are also blessings. Well, it's true. But one verse that's very familiar as we think about the Word of God, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A couple of things about this that I think is important, then we'll be done. Number one, I want to be approved of God, don't you? I mean, of everything in life, I want God to say, good job. You did exactly what I want you to do. One of the things that we know from God's Word where He will say that is studying God's Word. That's what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. God's going to approve us. Wonderful truth of it. And then the second thing is we're not going to be ashamed. Studying the Word of God says it's a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. By the way, Bible study is work too. Prayer and Bible study takes work. And then lastly, it'll make us accurate, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of you like to be wrong? Well, we don't like to be wrong. We like to be right. And we like to be right even when we're wrong. You'll catch that in a few minutes. So, yeah. But it's true. But the Bible says there's a good way for us to be right. Be in the Word. And then we rightly divide the word of truth. That's going to mean, guarantee you, this is not a maybe, this is a guarantee, that you're going to have to change some things. Because I can tell you, your life is not perfectly matched up with God's Word. So how do you know that? Because you're a sinner. It's constant. Our flesh is constantly battling. The Apostle Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. That's true. So we need this book. We need it every day. As we embark on this year, would you make a commitment? I want you to be careful now. Commitments are important. Set some kind of standard. God, you know what? I really enjoy you fill in the blank. I enjoy getting on social media. I enjoy whatever. Playing in my yard, gardening. I enjoy talking to my grandbabies. I enjoy you fill in whatever it is you really enjoy. Say, God, I'm not going to do that activity until I spend time in your word. Not going to happen. So every day, I can't do this activity until I spend time in your word. And if I don't spend time in your word, and make a commitment to God. I say, Lord, if you'll promise to remind me, I'll be faithful to do it. Put a journal. Do something that can track you. Put an app on there that'll ring. Ding, don't forget your Bible reading today. You got to purposely ignore that, which means you're making a conscious choice. There are loads of resources out there to do. Now, some of you are sitting here going, duh, Pastor, I know that. I'm consistent with it. Great. Sometimes you just be reminded of truth that you already know. This book is absolutely important. And we never get to a point where we've had enough. Never. We don't ever get to a point where we can check out. I've spent so many years studying the Bible, I'm A-okay. I got enough built up in my system for the rest of my life. I don't have to touch it, and I will be okay. Right, Pastor? Been in the ministry 45, 50 years now, getting close, somewhere in there. Still needs the Word. You know why? Because he's still breathing. As long as you're breathing this air on this earth, you need the Word. That's what's going to happen to you. And it's got enormous benefits. Don't walk away from it. You're going to give an account one day before God for it. Father, help us to make this book a priority in our lives. We need you so desperately. We need this book so desperately. We need it to correct us, as we've said. And we love you. In your name we pray.